Good afternoon, everyone. This is a program of and about UBC, one of the youngest and brightest universities on the continent. A place we like, and a place we think you should know more about. UBC Digest, produced and directed by the University Radio Society, is heard each Saturday afternoon at this time, with interesting notes and features about the life on our campus. This, then, is the word picture of UBC in action. And this is Bob Gillies, speaking for the University Radio Society, suggesting you stay with us for the next 30 minutes. UBC Digest, Volume 1, Number 14. Life went on just about as usual this week at UBC, and apart from the excitement over the impending elections for the president of the student body, the campus scene this past week was wet and quiet. Despite the weather and the comparative lack of activity, the UBC Digest special events crew went about the task of preparing today's program, and of course attending the odd lecture now and again. Right now, it's time for the feature of the afternoon, and to provide the introductions, here's our fellow Rad Sox member and friend, Peter Russell.
Thanks, Bob. To thousands of people scattered over this huge province, one of the most familiar organizations in corporate with the University of British Columbia is the Extension Department. In this instance, we feel that perhaps our listeners to UBC Digest know more about the Extension Department and its works than we, the student body, do. Here now is Mr. John Haar, Assistant Director of the Department, to give us an outline of its many and varied functions and to introduce some of his colleagues. Mr. Haar.
The University Extension Department is primarily concerned with carrying the facilities of the university from the campus to the people throughout the province, who, after all, are the taxpayers who make this university possible. Under the various supervisors, which are allocated to particular spheres of education in the field of adult education, we have entrusted the task of conveying the university to the communities, the logging camps, the cities throughout the province. One of the most important aspects of our adult education is in the field of visual education, and I would like to introduce Mr. Norman Barton, Supervisor of Visual Education in the department.
Thank you, Mr. Haar. Visual education includes not only the motion picture, but the older style aids such as film strips, slides, and flat photographs. Our service is able to offer something like 1,500 motion pictures, both with sound and silent type, 1,000 film strips, and 100 or more slides to anyone in the province. And if you don't happen to have the equipment to run them, the department is able to provide projectors, able to be operated from 110 volts, slide projectors operated from the standard house units, 32-volt farm systems, and even 6-volt batteries. And if you like, if you haven't got anything available, we'll even send you the generators. So there's everything there. Visual aids, I think, can be tied in with a great many of our other services, and I'm going to ask Mr. Haar to introduce some of the others.
The next person I have here is the embodiment of any university, and that is the library facilities. After all, it depends what we have in the buildings, what we eventually will be able to get out of the students or to the people of the province. One of the most popular services on the campus is the Extension Library. And here's the director of that service, Ms. Edith Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Haar. The purpose of our library is to send out good reading to people who haven't public library service. We try to fill people's individual interests as much as possible and go to considerable trouble to find suitable reading material. We have borrowers all over British Columbia, and we'd be very glad if they would indicate to us still further what we can do for them to help out in their reading interests. We find that people are more interested in travel than in anything else. And lately there's been great interest in Canada, Canadian affairs, and Canadian literature and art. People sometimes have to wait a very long time to get their books, but in the course of time, we try to send as much as possible of that which has been requested.
Are these books actually drawn out of the main stack of the library, open to the student body, or are they a special set of books?
We have a special collection covering practically every range of interest, but we can't do very much with technical books. So when special requests come in, we try to find books from the main part of the library that will fill the request.
Thank you.
The next gentleman I have here is the man who's probably the best known throughout the province of British Columbia. One of the most important industries of this province is, as you know, agriculture, and the number of requests that come in concerning this particular aspect of education are varied and numerous. Perhaps the best man to deal with it would be the man concerned, Mr. Alan Deschamps.
Thank you, John. Our agriculture services in the University Extension can be divided into four main subjects, that is, four main services. First, we have our advisory service, our farm radio forum, which is handled through our office, our Dominion Provincial Youth Training School, and our evening and short course services. The advisory service is set up so that we can answer most of the questions that farmers have. In our own department, we try to answer these in pamphlet form or by letter, and we also call on Miss York for books, and as well as that, we use the Faculty of Agriculture of the University. As far as our National Farm Radio Forum is concerned, we have these forums throughout the province, and we handle all the distribution of farm forum material, also the making the summaries of replies of the farm forums, and all the work connected with Farm Radio Forum. We are actually the sole sponsoring body of Farm Radio Forum in the province. Our Dominion Provincial Youth Training School, which is in session right now, is an 8-week short course for rural boys and girls from all over the province. At the present time, we have 56 students enrolled in this school. There are 20 girls and 36 boys. And they are from as far north as Montney, which is above 30 miles north of Fort St. John. And we get them from the west coast, right over in the Edgewater District, which is right near the Rockies. And we cover pretty well all the province as far as the students are concerned. And we offer quite an extensive program to them. They get 6 hours of instruction a day and 2 hours every night. And the nice thing about this course is that the total cost of the student is $30, room, board, and transportation. And the last service, as I said, are our short courses and evening classes, which we hold every year. Our short courses are actually held in outside of Vancouver as well as inside of Vancouver. These are night classes mostly.
These students, they're actually farm students, and the course they have is practical farming, is that right?
It's a leadership type of course. We emphasize the agricultural aspects of it, but we teach many other courses such as public speaking, photography, Miss Dorothy Somerset in dramatics, and we get instruction on nearly everything. There's very few courses we overlook. Our total course is 37 for the school, an 8-week school.
The next person we have here is the one who's known to all of you in the province and quite a few people across the continent. I'm quite sure that you all know Dorothy Somerset personally. I'm going to ask her to mention some of the other aspects of our activities in addition to her own particular field of the theater.
Well, the Extension Department offers what we call theater services, a variety of services. Perhaps the chief one is the Play Lending Library. I thought Miss Stewart was rather modest a minute ago when, speaking of the library, she didn't refer to plays, because we have a collection of somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 plays, and many groups throughout the province write in to us and ask advice on what plays to produce, how to get hold of plays, and Miss Stewart and I together try to help them, but I must say that Miss Stewart is the guardian angel, I think, of the drama groups that write in. We're keenly interested in helping drama groups throughout the province with all their various problems. We try to advise them by correspondence when they write into us. We're very keen on advising them in time when they start to build a new stage, because there are still a good many stages going up in the province that are not properly built and will never be really functionable, and we do like to have groups write into us on that aspect. When possible, we send an instructor out to groups in various parts of the province to give short drama courses. For instance, just a while ago, we arranged a short one in White Rock. Any theatre problem that comes up, maybe we won't be able to help with it, but we certainly like to have a try at it. In the arts, there are a number of other services that I'd like to speak of. First of all, there are the music services. We have a small but good collection of phonograph records, which are available to groups and individuals throughout the province who are interested in music appreciation or in listening to good music. Gradually, we're extending our collection of long-playing records, and this is proving increasingly popular. And we have an appreciation course in music written for us by Dr. Halpin, which has been widely used throughout the province. In the same way, there are two other courses for groups that have proved very helpful and popular. One is a course in public speaking. It's a self-teaching course for small groups, and this course has been used not only in BC, but right across to the very farthermost eastern point of Canada. And then a course in creative writing prepared for us by Eric Nickel and Ernest Perot, which is extremely interesting. A large number of people have registered for this course, and it enables them to get professional criticism of their writing. And then I'd just like to speak about the art services of the department, since Mr. Cliff Robinson, who is in charge of these, is not here at present. I believe he's over teaching some of Mr. Deschamps' students at the moment. He gives advice, loans books with the help of Miss Stewart on all aspects of art and handicraft. And then he has, in the last 2 or 3 years, been going out through the province giving short courses in art. And these have been enormously successful. We really feel that he is getting in touch with people throughout the province who are keen on art. And I know he values these connections very much. He and Miss Stewart and Miss Hankin, who's in charge of the music library, and I find these various arts very dear to us, and we are delighted when people write in and ask us to help with any phase of them.
Thank you very much, Miss Somerset. Now I'll ask Mr. Hahn to sign off for us.
Well, you've already had a pretty fair indication of the services which this department renders to the citizens of British Columbia. I might add that we have an extensive night class program through the Vancouver and Fraser Valley areas, and with the addition of credit and non-credit correspondence courses, the total enrollment of students handled by this department now numbers 3,000. Perhaps one of the things of the future which would be of interest to all of you is the forthcoming summer school session to be held on the campus during the month of July and August. Courses in theater, art, music, and handicrafts will be held. In addition, one of our members of the staff, Miss Eileen Cross, and another one, Miss Marjorie Smith, are out and around the province now lecturing in the field of home economics and student group and community organizations. If there's any particular problem which you as a citizen have, which you'd like to direct to us, we will do our utmost to try and find a solution for you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Haar, and all of you. I'm sure that few of us realize just what a huge field of activity the UBC Extension Department covers. And I hope that you, the listeners, will find cause in the not-too-distant future to take advantage of the wonderful facilities made available to everyone here in this province of ours.
UBC Digest Spotlight falls next on the social news of the week. Here with news and notes from the world of women here at Varsity, our social editor, Marg Weed.
Wednesday night was a very important one for 135 girls here on the campus. For on Wednesday night, at a very impressive ceremony, the 135 pledges to Fraternities returned their pledge pins and became true members of the organization here on the campus. I became a member myself, and knowing how much Fraternities has helped me in the few months that I have been a pledge to it, I thought that perhaps you people out there would like to know what it is. So I asked Joy Mounts, next year's president, to come down and talk to me a little bit about Fraternities today. First of all, Joy, I'd like to ask you just what Fraternities is.
Well, Fraternities is an international organization of college women. We have our membership open to any women on the campus, and it does help the girls, I believe, especially in their first year when they're out on campus.
And getting acquainted with people there and...
Yes, and giving them a sense of belonging, which sometimes is lacking when they first come out here.
Well, it's such a huge organization compared to the high schools that they have been at that I imagine it's a great change for them.
It certainly is, Mark.
And especially for the girls who've come away from home. I suppose the residence has helped them a little bit, but it still must be quite hard for them to get into the swing of things down here.
Oh, definitely. And Vancouver is so strange to them, too, besides...
Yes. Well, how many chapters are there?
Well, there are 12 other chapters besides ours. It's an international organization, as I said before, which means that we have a chapter in New Mexico, and then they extend through the states, but we are the only Canadian chapter.
Oh, there aren't any others here besides the BC chapter.
We're the only.
Well, how is each chapter divided up? I know there are so many girls that it would be impossible to have just a chapter.
Yes, well, as you can realize, we have about 180 members altogether. So we have divided our chapter into about eight. There are eight subchapters this year. And each subchapter is a replica of our main chapter. We have a president for each subchapter, the secretary, vice president, just as we do in our Theta chapter.
Well, I know we had a formal last fall, and we've had several square dances since. I was wondering if there are any other social functions that are coming up.
Well, we would like to plan another square dance, but our main social function this term is going to be our spring formal, which will be on February the 20th, and we always choose quite original themes, I think, for our formals. Everybody always remarks on them. For instance, this term we're having a coronation ball. That's in keeping with the coronation theme throughout the British Empire, I guess.
Oh, yes, with the Queen Elizabeth's coronation next year.
Coronation.
Well, we choose a Pateri's queen or sweetheart, don't
yes.
we?
Yes. Right now, the subchapters are each electing candidates for our Pateri's sweetheart. And at our general meeting, which is going to be just before the formal, each subchapter will present their candidate, you see.
Oh, I see.
And they'll have a skit and try to get everybody to vote for their candidate. And then we vote then and try to eliminate them down to three candidates, you see.
Oh.
And then these three will be presented at the formal.
Oh, the night of the formal.
Yes, we're hoping that Dr. McKenzie will be able to introduce.
Oh, well, that would be very nice.
Yeah.
I know that he and Mrs. McKenzie were at the last formal.
Yes, they were there. They always show great interest.
I know Mrs. McKenzie was at the
initiation
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Well, Dean Maudsley was saying that the faculty regards Fraternities as one of the organizations that they like to sponsor the best on the campus.
I believe they do, Mark. Yes, they. I think they consider us one of the outstanding organizations. After all, we do have a great purpose, I think. We serve so not only social functions, but social service, too. Oh, did you remember about our scholarship fund?
Oh, no, I forgot about that. You better
tell us. We have a scholarship fund that has, started last year. We've given away one scholarship now. We base it on scholastic standing. And it's given to a high school girl who is entering university for the first year. And we try to raise money throughout the year for that. You know that we're having a candy sale, I think,
yes.
In the very near future. Well, that's going to go towards our scholarship fund, too.
Well, thank you very much for coming and talking to me, Joy. It's been wonderful. And I hope that the parents out in the listening audience and the high school girls who are intending to come to varsity next year will listen to what she has said, because Fraternities really is a marvelous organization out here. It gets the girls into university when they first come out, when it's so strange to them, and it does social service work, and it through their whole university life it helps the girls to get to know different people and to get into a crowd. And afterwards, when you've finished university, you still have these friends that you can come back and see from your university days. Thanks again, Joy.
And now let's take a look at sports here on the campus. Here's the man to bring us up to date on the athletic picture at UBC this week, URS sportscaster Bruno Simulai.
This afternoon, we have with us Jim McIntyre of the Thunderbird swim team. How are you this afternoon, Jim?
Just fine, thanks, Bruno.
Well, first of all, has your team had any meets this year as yet?
No, we've got our first one coming up tonight against Western Washington College of Education. That's down at Crystal Pool at 8 o'clock.
Are the Western Washington swimming team as good as their other athletic team?
Well, unfortunately, from all the reports we've heard, they are. They've got a very powerful squad this year. In fact, it's supposed to be the most powerful one in the conference.
Speaking about the conference, how many years has UBC been in this conference?
Well, this is our fourth year. And incidentally, three of those, we've held the cup as the top team in the conference.
Now, this is the Evergreen Conference we're
That's
talking
right,
about, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. In other words, UBC has been quite a power in this Evergreen Conference during the past. What about this year? Do you think you'll be able to keep up that reputation?
Well, it's pretty hard to say, Bruno, until we get through a couple of meets. Four of the most powerful men last year have left, Captain Gordy Potter, and then the three famous Swedes, Pal Cardell, Torsten Bengtsson, and Ole Olsen, all three of them are gone this year. But we have two returning lettermen this year, Peter Lustig and Al Borthwick, who are acting as co-captains.
What kind of conditions is the team in for this meet tonight, Jim?
Well, that's pretty hard for me to say. I think the best way for you to find out would be to come down and watch us against Western Washington.
Well, you have been training, haven't you?
Oh, yes, we have. Under Doug Whittle, our coach, and Bob Stangroom, who's head of aquatics down at the Y, we've been going through a pretty intensive training schedule. We did our pre-Christmas training, and then, of course, the exams and Christmas itself took its toll. But since Christmas, we've been going through a pretty extensive training schedule to try and get in shape for these meets. And incidentally, I'd like to mention that all the training we do is being done down at the Y this year. And that may be one of the reasons that the squad is smaller than usual, is the fact that it takes about an hour a day of traveling time every time we want to train. And we're still hoping to get that British Empire Games pool out at varsity here. But even so, most of the fellows have been pretty good about it and relinquishing their time to go down.
I guess it would be rather tough not having your own pool up here and having to go downtown.
Well, it's just the difference between spending a couple hours and one of those in traveling and spending a couple of hours in the water, because you can only spend so much time at swimming.
Yeah. Well, I see our time is rather short. I think we only have time here for you to recap us on tonight's meet again. Jim, would you give us those details in case any of our listeners are interested in going and seeing a fine swimming meet?
Well, it's going to be down at Vancouver's only pool, the Crystal Pool, and the time is 8 o'clock. And incidentally, it isn't going to cost you much to get in, remember that. It's 50 cents for adults and 25 cents for students. That's just about half what you pay for games on the campus, I think. That's 8 o'clock down at Crystal Pool.
8 o'clock tonight down at the Crystal Pool.
That's right.
Sounds like a real exciting evening, and we'll have to really cut it short here, Jim. Thanks very much for taking time out for speaking with us here, and I wish you good luck in your two events tonight.
Oh, thanks, Bruno. I hope I'm half as long-winded tonight as I was this afternoon.
Many thanks to you and your guest, Bruno, for enlightening us on the forthcoming UBC Athletic Picture. And now with some interesting news about another UBC institution, here's our friend Ross Crane. What are you saluting this week, Ross?
Well, Bob, this week we turn our attention toward the stadium. Situated east of the East Mall and north of the University Boulevard is Varsity Stadium, a landmark which is perhaps the best known to people outside the university. Development of the stadium and playing fields was started in 1931 to help alleviate the unemployment situation, which was then at its worst. Much of the labor for the construction job was obtained from the Relief Department of the City of Vancouver, and the money for the project came chiefly from subscriptions from the faculty, students, and friends of the university. The first section of the grandstand for the stadium was erected in the summer of 1937 on the west side of the main playing field. The grandstand is a covered structure of reinforced concrete 126 feet in length and providing seating accommodation for 1,600 spectators. Flanking it on either side are two wooden bleacher sections of 500 seats each. Funds for construction of the grandstand were obtained from a $40,000 bond issue sponsored by the Alma Mater Society. Some years later, in 1946 to be exact, a wooden grandstand section providing 1,000 covered seats was built on the other side of the field from the main grandstand. Underneath the main grandstand are located various locker rooms, dressing rooms, showers, ticket booths, drying rooms, and equipment rooms. In the early days of the stadium, one of the rooms was used as a gymnasium, but as conditions at the university improved, this room was converted to a classroom. The stadium has been the scene of many memorable events in the field of athletic endeavor. Many McKechnie and Tisdall Cup Rugger games have been played there, and while we're on the subject of Rugger, we should remind you that the stadium has played host to many world-famous teams. In 1927, the New Zealand Maoris played there, followed in later years by the Australian Wallabies. This year, we expect to be entertaining Queen's University Rugger team from Belfast, Ireland. In Canadian football, the stadium has been the scene of many Hardy Cup games, and of course, many famous track and field stars have beat their way along the stadium's 440-yard cinder track. In 1946, the Birds stopped playing Canadian football and switched over to the American game. The largest crowd for an American football game, in fact, for any event at the stadium, was that in attendance for the visit of Their Highnesses Prince Philip and Princess Elizabeth in the fall of 1951. Soccer is another of the sports played at the stadium, the main event of which was the faculty versus UBC team game, which saw such faculty notables, including our president, Dr. McKenzie, starring in the action. Future plans for the stadium call for the ultimate continuance of the main section of the grandstand all the way around the field. Well, there it is. The story of another UBC institution, the stadium.
Thanks, Ross, for telling us all about Varsity Stadium. And now to bring us up to the present day, here's Don Sweet with the calendar of events for the coming week.
Over 250 nurses are expected to turn up at the pre-med mixer in Brock Lounge tonight. So here's a chance for UBC men to come out and meet all these beautiful girls. Dancing will start at 8:30 to the music of Wally Lightbody and his six-piece band. Tickets are only 50 cents each, and the snack bar will be open while the dance is on. Wednesday, February 4th, is election day on the campus. Students will choose one of the four candidates for AMS president by preferential voting and secret ballot. Six polling stations will be set up in various parts of the campus. On Friday, February 6th at noon in the auditorium, the Jazz Society will present a Dixieland concert featuring Ren Williams and his Totem City Jazz Band. Admission is only 25 cents. Students will have a chance to tour the world without going any further than Brock Hall when International House presents its annual ball on Friday night, February 6th at 9 p.m. Tickets are $3.50 a couple and are available at the AMS office and the bookstore. Finally, on Saturday night, the Film Society is presenting its fifth annual screen dance in Brock Hall. 4 hours of famous name band music will be projected on a specially constructed giant screen. Students can dance in the dark to music of their favorite bands from 8 to 12. Advance sale tickets are now available at the AMS office. Tickets will be $1 by advance sale or $1.25 at the door. And that's next week's calendar of events at UBC.
This has been UBC Digest, Volume 1, Number 14, another in the series of programs produced each week at this time by the University Radio Society. We hope you've enjoyed this week's presentation, and we hope, too, you'll find time to listen again next Saturday at 4:30, when once again, we'll bring UBC to the air. Now, this is Bob Gillies, speaking for the University Radio Society, wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon from UBC. This is URS, the University Radio Society, the voice of UBC.